Good morning, church. It's great to be here with you guys. I want to give a chance for my wife to share some great news from the Caribbean.
Good morning. It's great to be here in our Caribbean weekend, because it's not just today. But I just wanted to share with you guys about something really amazing that's happening in the Caribbean. 21 years ago, out of New York City, two young people left on the mission team to Dominican Republic in Puerto Rico. And later on, they got married, moved back to the States, and today they are sponsoring our full-time minister, our own full-time minister for the campus and teens in Dominican Republic in Puerto Rico. And I just wanted to share that to let you know that your contribution matters, because it makes a difference wherever it goes. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Once again, it's great to be back in New York. It's great to just be here. I just want to start off saying thank you. Thank you for just having us, myself and my wife, here in town. Thank you for the Barnes for the invitation. Thank you for the region and Queens and Long Island, the New York church. Thank you so much. Thank you to campus students to be able to hang out with you guys on Friday. That was a lot of fun. Also, I just want to say saludos a mis hermanos y hermanas latinos que están aquí. And en especial a la esquina dominicana. Ustedes saben que hay mucho amor. For those who don't understand, I was just saying hello to my Latinos, but especially the Dominican corner over there that came out from Westchester, Jersey, and all different places to come on Harlem to come see us and spend time with us. You know, one thing that's really cool and that warms my heart is that our two first baptisms, two sisters, Kenya and Glennis, who were baptized 23 years ago, who went to that first service in 1994, are here today, faithful, loving God, and in their service. So I just wanted to say thank you. It's always good to be back in New York. For many of you who don't know, if you can't tell by my accent, I'm from Brooklyn. I was born and raised here. I was converted here. This is my my spiritual home. I will always be grateful for the New York church, because this is where I became a disciple in the campus ministry at the tender age of 19. And, you know, our history, for some of us who don't know us, like I said, my wife was also converted in the campus ministry, Hunter College in Manhattan. We were sent out in 1994 at the Jacob Javits Center. Some of you who are here were there that day. And we were sent down with 18 disciples to the Dominican Republic, saw over 260 people at our inaugural service there. After 4 days of sharing our faith, God blessed us with so many people who came. And since then, God has just kept blessing and blessing. Where it's three churches later, over 860 disciples, to the glory of God. And I will always, always, always be grateful for those years of financial and spiritual support that you guys gave us in our formative years. For the first 9 years, the Dominican Republic was supported financially, spiritually, by the church here in New York. Your support helped us to become, how can we say, the kind of big people that we are today, the grown-ups that we are today. You know, the lives, the marriages, the children, the families of so many have been changed for eternity. You don't know. Some of you have visited. Perhaps you have an idea. You know, but where did it start? It started here in New York, with people like yourselves giving and sacrificing year after year, decade after decade. And that's the difference that it makes. And I'm going to share a little bit more of just the impact that God has had on the lives of so many people. Sometimes when we give, we don't see all that God does. So I'm hoping today you can get a picture of it, of what God can do and what God has done. Because I will tell you right now that what you give is making a difference in the lives of so many of the over 3,200 disciples in the Caribbean. And I want to say thank you. Thank you on my behalf. Thank you on behalf of so many who can't be here to say thank you. But thank you, because the lives of so many are being changed. So thank you so much. So let's pray and let's get into the Word of God. Great God and Father, we thank you so much because of who you are. We thank you because of your son Jesus and his sacrifice. We thank you because he is the most excellent example of who we need to be and how we need to be. We thank you because if it wasn't for him, none of this would be possible. Thank you, Father, be with me. Speak through me. Let it be you who preaches this morning, Father. Take me out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start reading from verses 14 to 21. I'm going to adjust this mic and make it small man possible. If it lets me. Here we go. It's all the other guys a little bit taller. They don't consider us the vertically challenged. Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 14 to 21, today we're going to talk about deep and wide. It says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, Paul begins chapter 3 by talking about the mystery that God has made known to him. The mystery that through the gospel, Gentiles, people like yourself and myself, have the opportunity to be heirs with Israel, to share with the promises of Jesus Christ. And then Paul talks about how he became a servant of the gospel because of God's grace. Paul makes many references to that. And how he is able to preach about the boundless riches of Christ. And because of his great mercy, the Bible also talks about that we can approach God with freedom and with confidence. That's good news. And then Paul does, as he often does sometimes in his letters, where he's talking about something and then he kind of just hooks a left. And then he breaks into a prayer, the prayer that we just finished reading. Point number one, deep. Deep. In verse 17, he says here, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Rooted. To strengthen with roots. To render firm. To fix. Establish. Cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. Established. To lay the foundation. To make stable. To put on a firm basis. Paul's prayer, his desire is that we be a people that not just at one time in our lives, but that we continue to be rooted and established in love, in God. I like the way the Message version puts it. He says, both feet planted firmly. That's how he wants us to be in our walk with him. That's how he wants us to be in our relationship with him. That our relationship with God be something solid, deep, intimate, continuously growing and being strengthened. I know we go through tough times. I know we go through hard times. And I know there are times that we feel we're going backwards instead of forward. But I believe as we keep persevering and as we keep growing in our knowledge and our love for God, these things will continue to happen in our lives. We're not the same people we walked into this place years ago or decades ago. So Paul's talking here is the image is that of a tree that he's describing. A tree with deep roots, with a wide trunk and ever expanding branches. And a tree is all nice, but I'm from the Caribbean. So I'd like to consider the palm tree. We can go to that next slide. That's a cool picture, ain't that? For some of us who can see it. No, the slide before, please. Not that one. A beach, palm tree, cool water, something cold to drink. And just chilling. I get to live in a place like this. It's the city, but I'm a few hours away. Somebody's got to evangelize the Caribbean. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not, but hey, you know? A palm tree is a beautiful tree. When you're chilling under it with something cold to drink and a nice seat and cool weather, it's beautiful. But next slide. Consider the same palm tree.
but in the middle of a storm. And that's not it. Consider the palm tree in the middle of a storm like this one. We get a lot of those. That's the other part of the Caribbean that a lot of people don't like. It's the hurricane. You know, that same palm tree that's nice and beautiful is the same thing that you're seeing blowing back. My route on the way home is I drive by the ocean on the way home. It's a beautiful thing. But when there are storms and when there are hurricanes, you see those palm trees swaying from one side to another, bending constantly. You know, as I was preparing for this, I considered, you know, you find so many things on Google, and I found palm tree facts. Okay. Palm tree facts. So let me give you guys some palm tree facts. Palm tree fact number one. Its roots hold strong throughout the threatening storm. It is steadfast. The palm tree withstands the tremendous gust of wind and defies the violent tempest. It will sway back and forth but won't break. And all the while, it is inexpressibly graceful. Oh. If you ever seen a palm tree in a storm, you know what I'm talking about. The wind blows and blows, and that thing bends, 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 bends. And it doesn't break, and it just seems like it just kind of goes with the flow. It goes, the wind goes this way, it goes that way. The wind goes this way, it goes this way. It's, I'm here. But it reminded me of a scripture. Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25, they'll be here on the slide, says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built this house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Bible teaches us that we need to go deep. By building wisely, by listening to God's word, by practicing God's word, by persevering in God's word. That this is what helps us. That come what may, because storms have come in our lives and more will come. Sorry to tell you that. I wish I could tell you the biggest storm is already over. It might be, but other storms will come. But if we build on the rock, we might bend, but we won't break. We might look a little disheveled, a little more wrinkled, a little bit more beat up, but we're still around. Okay. Still loving God. Okay. Still serving the Lord. Don't look as pretty as the first time we came in, but we're still here. Palm tree fact number two. It has life. Its life is within. Its life is within. It says here, if cut, it doesn't die because it has a deep hidden life. The palm tree's growth is internal. It can be cut, but it won't be injured, and it will still grow back again. And that's impressive. And from someone who has seen many of palm trees, this is true. Its life is within. It's not on the outside. It reminds him of another scripture. Colossians 1, verse 27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the thing that gives us strength? Similar to the palm tree, our power, our strength comes with from within. It is not something human. It is Jesus in you and in me. Have you ever looked back at a time in your walk with God and go, how did I get through that? I don't know how I got through that. You know, it's called the power of God. Because if it was based on you, and it was based on me, long time ago, we would have packed our stuff. Because there is a Jesus much more powerful than you and I. It's the strength to get us through. It is Christ in you, Christ in me. And sometimes we hurt, sometimes we're weak, sometimes we falter, sometimes we're devastated, but we are not taken out. Bible says in another scripture, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. The strength to surpass, to change, to see God do what he wants to do in our lives and in our family and in our church is a direct result of our relationship with God. Amen. Jesus in you can get you through any situation that you go through. Palm tree fact number three. It can subsist in the desert. It has much endurance. Even in barren soil, the palm tree flourishes. Interesting. It seems that it's always green and bears fruit continuously. As a matter of fact, it is exceedingly fruitful. Date palms can produce 100 pounds a year for 100 years. Can you believe that? It reminded me of another scripture. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Like the palm tree in the desert, at times our surroundings can be a bit discouraging. Sometimes the things that we look around and we go, this don't look too pretty. Sometimes they're just plain discouraging. But the Bible says that the person who trusts God, who's deeply rooted in Jesus, will not give in to worry. And even in those times of difficulty, will bear fruit. Has it ever happened where some of your worst times spiritually has been perhaps some of the most fruitful times in your life? And you go, I'm in sin. I'm doing horrible. And God, what are you doing? That's when he lets you know, it's not about you. It's all about me and my power. You know, palm tree fact number 4. It says, the palm tree, and I thought this is a lie. When I read that, I said, no, y'all messed up now. It says, the palm tree grows straight and it is a very lofty tree. And I said, I've seen many palm trees that don't grow straight. But check this out. It said, it has a determined growth upward, resisting every attempt to press or bend downward. The palm tree continues its growth toward heaven. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9 that says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know, like the palm tree, where so many things press against us in this life, they get us so focused in on this world and not on heaven. The very scripture says that we can be hard-pressed, we can be perplexed, despair, persecuted, but we're not abandoned and we're not struck down. The palm tree, and I've seen many of palm trees go all different kinds of shapes, but one thing you notice at the end is the head is always pointing up. Yeah. It's always striving to go in that direction. And it's a lesson for us because that's always what we need to be reminded of. Focus on heaven and not in this world. Because this world, we're just a passing through, people. We're just, don't get too comfortable. You know, we go through tough times in our faith. We go through tough times in our walk with God. And it's not easy. And it's not easy. But the Bible tells us here that we can find strength in Jesus. That we can find strength in him and what he does. You know, there was a time there with myself and Luce, you know, as 03 and all that other nuttiness that was going on around that time, there was a lot of churches that lost support and we were one of them. And it was a tough time because aside from that happening, the country in DR was going through a heavy duty inflation. Basically the dollar, the peso, well, for $1 you would get 16 and it went from 16 to 55. We were paying, as some of us were complaining here about gas prices, we were paying $7.50 per a gallon of gas. So imagine, it's almost $100 to fill up your car. During that time, Luce and I were also foster parents of 4 girls. Who were the ages 4 through 11. At that time, Luce and I were making $12,000 a year. That means 6 each. And on top of that, we're trying to figure out how to pay the bills, how to feed these girls, and how to preach before the church and be encouraged. Have faith. God is awesome. Y'all don't know how many midweeks I went up and Sundays, and I'm like, I hope I can even believe what I'm teaching right now. The only thing I knew to do at that time was to pray. And I'm going to tell you, I felt like a broken record. I would literally get up off my bed and get on my knees right there. There's no going, you know, no making no stops, no checking my phone. It was boom. And it was, Lord help.
And you don't know how often I felt like it's the same song, it's the same thing I'm saying, it's just bouncing off the roofs. And it was discouraging. And I thought to myself, is this how it's going to end? Is this it? You know, left my family, left university, left the country that I knew, and this is how it's going to end? My wife, who's Dominican, you know, at one point said to me, honey, maybe we just need to just go back to the U.S. And in my mind, I'm thinking, but you're the Dominican. You're not supposed to say this. You know, what did God do? I would love to tell you that things changed from one day to another. That it was a week later and the Lord dropped, you know, $50,000 on my lap. No, I'd love to tell you that. But it wasn't. The process was slow, and God worked on us for about 4 to 5 years. We had to let go half of our staff. We had to go looking for part-time jobs, the ones that we were able to stay on staff. And during that lowest point, of our life, you know, electricity was cut on 2 different occasions. People were bringing food over to our house. I mean, it was like, whoa, what is going on? And at that lowest point financially and probably even spiritually in our lives, you know, a couple who's good friends of ours, they were converted in campus ministry. He's an architect, she's an engineer. They came up to us and said, listen, we're building our house. We've got a piece of land. We know how much you guys make, and we know it ain't a lot. We want to build you guys a house at cost. And most people would be encouraged by news like that. And I was encouraged for about 5 minutes. Because I was like, cost. I can't even afford cost. For me, you know, when you're discouraged, even good news seems like, you know. But thank God for my wife. She was like, honey, hold up. You know, it does us good. Some of our husbands are just every once in a while, just shut up and just, you know, hey, you know. And I thank God. And long story short, 9 months later, we moved into our house without paying a penny. Lord worked out the mortgage and we moved into this deep. I mean, at the lowest point, we had to learn to reach down deeper than we had ever had in our lives. And what did God do? God did some pretty amazing things. And that is the power of God. As we persevere, God can do amazing things. Point number two. Let me get hurrying here before somebody kicks me off the stage. Go wide. Wide. Verse 20 and 21 of Ephesians that we looked at earlier says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, the Bible says here that God can do more than we can hope for or imagine. And God has done some powerful things here. And there are even more powerful things that he wants to do with us. You know, even in our weakness, he can do more. No matter our economical situation, our lack of talent, no matter our past, God can use you. If I had time, I'd tell you about my story being all jacked up. I don't belong on the stage. I shouldn't be the guy that went down to lead the mission team. But God can do something through anybody. Consider Gideon. I love Gideon. I love the underdogs of the Bible. It says the Bible said that when the Lord called him, this is what happened. It says the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me. And that reminds me of something funny I heard yesterday. Pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family. Gideon's response reveals a lot about his heart and his faith. How am I going to save Israel? You're not. It's not you. Gideon heard what the Lord wanted him to do, and instead of looking toward God's strength and power, he looked at himself. He looked inside and he said, I can't do this. You don't know me. You don't know the stuff. My family, we got issues. I mean, it's just, we can't. But don't laugh too hard, because the same thing happens with us. God tells you, go to your family. Yo, Lord, I mean, you don't know my family. You know, they're not easy. This tough. You don't know how many years or decades I've been inviting them to church. He says, go to your neighbor. Oh, that's even harder. You don't know my neighbors. Go to the city. Go to the university. Go plant the church. Go lead. Go into the ministry. Go repent. And what do? We look inside and fear traps us and gets the best of us. Oh, let me give you all the reasons why not. And we get fearful. Fear of what? Fear of failure. Fear of not having the strength to do it. Fear of taking responsibility. I don't want responsibility. I want my life to be simple, and I don't want to mess up, and I don't want nobody to disciple me and tell me anything. I don't want responsibility. We like the scripture that says, "Here I am, Lord, send him." You know, it's like we get fearful. Fearful of what others will say. How will they respond? Fear of making mistakes of the past. I don't want to make mistakes because in the past I made a lot of mistakes. Let me tell you something. In the present and in the future, you're going to make more. You're going to make more. Sometimes we can find ourselves avoiding the past so much that we can't even advance into the future. I don't want to make mistakes. Oh, no, in the past. Please. As long as you're in that body and in that brain and here on earth, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to mess up. But there's an incredible thing called humility and repentance, and we can get it together. So stop your excuses like I gave mine, and let's get with it. Because the Lord needs so many people to keep working. Check this scripture out. Judges 6 verse 34 says, "The Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizrites to follow him." It's cool because it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon. Different versions use the word took control, clothed. I like the Spanish version. It says took ownership of. So I ask you, what has taken ownership of you these last few months, weeks, years, decades maybe? Has faithlessness taken a hold of you? Ownership of you? Fear? Worry? Insecurity, apathy, bitterness maybe. Or has the Spirit of God taken ownership of you? Because let me tell you something. All of us can find something to sit back and be mad with somebody about or with God about. You get your list, I'll get mine. We'll sit in a corner and cry. But my Bible tells me that the Spirit of God, even in difficult situations, hard situations, can do amazing things. Amen? Amen. So let me wrap up here sharing just some good news of what God's doing in the Dominican and what He can do. You know, what can the power of God do? You know, it's interesting enough that when we were on support, we never sent out any mission teams. After we lost support is when we started planting churches. In 2004, we decided as a church, we need to move forward. We got stuff to do, people to save, things to do. There was a group of people, about 40 people, who were coming from the region on the east side. It's kind of like who were coming from Flatbush, Brooklyn. And compared to here, what happened is we said, we need to start a new region. We don't have money, we have a way to do it, but we have a God who's powerful. We started that region on that end. God helped us find a place. There are over 200 disciples in the east region now. In 2005, we said we need to get out of the city. We went north, went to Santiago in 2005. There are over 70 disciples there right now. In 2008, we went east. We went to La Romana. We said we got to go to that direction too. There are over 40 disciples in La Romana right now. You know, one thing cool. Let me show you a picture of our team ministry. You know, this is a picture. One of our team workers got married. And this is a combination of team workers and teens and a couple of older people who got mixed up in there too. But in the last year and a half, we decided we needed to focus on our teen ministry. And God has blessed us. We've seen over 14 teens get baptized. And the cool part about it is that the majority of them are children of disciples, or either nieces and nephews or grandkids of disciples that are fired up about being disciples in their teen years. So God is good. Another thing I wanted to share with you guys. Next slide, please. I think you'll see it. That's some of the 14. They got them superhero t-shirts because they said they're heroes for making this decision at this stage in their life. So, next slide. The next slide you're going to see, you know, for a long time, what we were at is we didn't have a place to meet. We didn't have a place to meet as a church. For 2 years, we met in parks and in house churches. People were tired of this already. And what happened is, we said, somebody in the church came up with an idea, our brother architect, why don't we start a building fund? Let me tell you something, I was super negative about this building fund. I said, we ain't got no money, and that fund is just, nothing's gonna happen. I'm glad people did not listen to me. So what happened? We started this building fund, and God blessed it. And what happened? Through the efforts of the church. You know, between the efforts of the church and everybody working together, we decided to raffle a car that cost $16,000. God helped us to raise $100,000 through that raffle. Also, three garage sales that raised $30,000. What happened also, as we began to start moving forward with this project, God, you know, we came up short and still needed some more money to finish. There was a brother who's an architect who said, listen, I will design the building and I will supervise it. 11 months of work free. And on top of that, he gave $30,000 of his own money. And then what he said, listen, I'm going to refinance my home so we can finish this project. And I'm going to talk to a couple other people at church I know. Four couples refinance their home. I know what some of you are thinking. That's dumb. That's stupid. That's crazy. We were able to finish the project and move into our building. It was like the book of Acts. No one claimed anything was their own. And they shared everything they had. What is the result? All those four couples have been paid back. Our building is about 80% paid off. What has God been able to bless us? God was able to bless us, allowing us to add people onto staff. We have 14 people on staff. 3 years in a row, over $100,000 has been given to special contribution. And you would think in a year like that, we'd be so distracted with all this stuff that we don't help anybody get saved. 105 people between baptism and restorations that year. All by the power of God. All by the power of God. Not by us. And this last story I want to share is one that's, I've shared it before, but it's so close to my heart. If you can go, there's a couple, you'll see a couple of more slides of our building, and then you'll reach a slide of another person. That's our hall. Keep going. That's an anniversary service. That's another picture of our building. Keep going. There you go, Women's Day and everything, and I think one more. Oh, our New Year's party. We have an all-church New Year's party. We get down to New Year's. And next one. There we go. That's line. You know, there's the Sosa ladies. And these are four sisters and their mom. Rosemary, the one in pink, she was the first one who was invited on campus, studied the Bible, got baptized. Invited then her other sister, her younger sister, who's all the way on the right, who came on out, again, started studying the Bible. She became a disciple. Then she invited her other sister, Cynthia, who's all the way on the left, who was in the teen ministry at that time. She started studying the Bible, got baptized. And then there was a little one, Janine, in the wedding dress, who was only 9 years old. We couldn't do anything with her at that time. And but she came out of, you know, the children's ministry, started studying the Bible, got baptized. And then during this whole process, mom was like watching what's going on and what's happening and where are my kids going and what's going on. And she went, and mom was baptized too as well. Next slide, please. Then what happened? There was the dad, the holdout. Why are the dads the stinking holdouts? I don't get it. So what happened? Dad, here, Rafael Sosa. But Rafael Sosa, he has a, nobody calls him by that name. They call him Primo. Primo means cousin. And he calls everybody Primo. So he says, hey cuz. So he is El Primo, the Primo. So Primo, 18 years visiting church. He would give money. When we were in the middle of the building construction, he said, I'm going to donate my work. He painted the building entirely. He fixed stuff in people's homes. He's a handyman. He's been in almost everybody's home. But he just wouldn't hand himself over to Jesus. One day he said to his wife, I want to get a Bible. Don't ask me a lot of questions. I just want a Bible. They got him a Bible, and he would start getting up at 5:30 in the morning and reading his Bible. His daughter, who was at the house at the time, snuck a picture of him and sent it to us on WhatsApp. He said, don't tell anybody. Just pray for my dad. It took almost about a year in the process, but between decisions, coming to the Bible, coming to church, he started coming on Sundays on his own, started coming to midweeks on his own, started coming to Bible talk on his own, started studying the Bible, became a disciple. It lets you know, when it doesn't seem like prayers are being answered, God answers prayers.
Because that's the kind of God we serve. So what do I say with this people? Never give up.
Never give up. Just never give up.
The Gideon, he said, what made the difference for Gideon? He says, the Lord answered, I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites living in the life. He says, but I will be with you. We have a God who is with us. And because he is with us, we're much greater than any obstacle, than any problem, than any challenge that we have before us. Deep and wide. God bless. Thank you for your time.